You guys are going to love this episode with Dana Malstaff of Boss Moms. She really dropped some amazing value bombs about her ideas of balancing motherhood with running a successful business. And she gave a lot of great advice for anyone out there who is starting a business, a podcast, a blog, an Instagram account, or any new endeavor about how to not get discouraged, how to deal with negative criticism, and how to just keep trying. You could be just a couple nobody cares away from everybody cares. I loved this episode and I know you will too. So without further ado, here is Dana Malstaff. Hello and welcome to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and I am literally so excited. You have no idea how excited I am about our guest today. She is super amazing and successful. Her name is Dana Malstaff, but she goes by Dana Banana. So we're just going to lovingly call her that. But I'm sure I could give her a really long, beautiful introduction, but I am going to let you introduce yourself, Dana. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family and all of the good things?
Oh, tell you about me. Well, my brother convinced me that my middle name was Banana for about the first 10 years of my life. So, so if that gives you any indication, I'm super silly. Yeah, I grew up in a MacGyver family, like where creativity was very much rewarded. So I grew up in a let's build things, like why buy it when you can build it sort of mentality, which I love. So no wonder I ended up becoming an entrepreneur who likes to do things and create things and then move on to the next thing to create and everything like that. So I always knew I wanted to be a parent and I wanted to own my own business. I did not expect that they would happen like in the same day, which they did. But yeah, so a lot of my story, it's so funny because you look back and like my story from before Boss Mom and my story then after Boss Mom, it's like, which one do I tell? Because they feel like they're two different lifetimes, honestly. Like I had the me before family. I bet a lot of moms feel that way. There was like, yes, the me before I had children and a family, yeah, and all those things, which was, you know, rambunctious and partying and fun and all of those things and carefree. And then there's me now, who has responsibilities and grows a business and has babies. And, you know, I teeter between like wanting to be a woman and wanting to like smother my children with love and wanting a glass of wine and being with adults and wanting to like build, you know, little balloon forts with my children. So I have a very interesting life now. And Boss Mom was really just born because I felt alone and isolated and I'm not built to be a stay-at-home mom. And I felt really bad about it. And I ended up writing a book about how do we run businesses and raise babies at the same time and do it feeling good about ourselves and how do we manage that. And it just turns out a lot of people needed that and it did really well. And so we opened up the Facebook group and the podcast and all of those things. And we've just been boss momming it ever since.
Well, I love that. I was going to say, I've heard the story about how Boss Mom started 100 times, but I love it every time. But you kind of went over it.
It's the one, it's hard because it's like, after a while, you're like, do I keep telling them the same thing? But I always tell everybody to say the same thing to new people instead of new things to the same people.
Well, I love it. Can you tell us what it means personally to you to be a boss mom?
Yes. Oh, and I love this question because it's constantly what we're trying to understand from our brand and positioning is what that means. To me, a boss mom means that I will always have more than one priority in my life. That anybody who tells me that, oh, if you just focus on your business, you will succeed, because there is no possibility in my universe of not focusing on my children. And there is no possibility in my universe of not focusing on my business. And there is no possibility in my universe of not thinking about like what makes me happy and how I'm impacting the world. They're just all parts of me. So to me, Boss Mom is about embracing all of the things that we care about and that we want to do in our lives and not feeling bad about wanting all of those things, but recognizing that's human nature to want all of those things, to embrace that I am feel like I'm failing life once a month and to embrace that I'm super excited once a month, to embrace that I just want to weep and like stay in bed and not talk to anybody once a month and be excited about all those parts of my life as opposed to trying to be one thing. Like I think with boss moms, just so much more than one thing.
Yeah. I think you do it all like a boss. That's what's most important.
Well, and I think what's really important is that a good boss, like a good leader, is human. You know, we think of being a boss as being strong and getting things done and action oriented and the hustle and all that stuff. And no, a good boss is a good listener, and a good boss is someone who is human and cares about other people. And a good boss wants is there for the greater good, not just today's good. Like we had kids because we're in it for the long run. Like nobody had kids because kids today is awesome. Like kids today is hard.
Yes.
Like we have kids because we're in it for the long run. Like we're in it for the accumulation of good memories. You know, so it's got to be like that from the boss side too. Like the boss about being a good human being that cares about other people.
I hear you. So I know just some of your specialties include podcasting, community building, content creation strategies. That's just to name a few, but you've been really successful in building your business. My question is, how do you balance the demands of running a successful business with all of the demands of being a mom?
Well, I like to schedule in days of proactive weeping in the bathroom. No, I'm just kidding. although I do believe in proactive crying. I swear, after I have a baby, I think you just turn on a Hallmark commercial and it's like waterworks. Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't believe in balance. I think that to me, that sounds like I've got something over here that has to equal out to something over here. And I don't think anything equals anything. I think there are days when my business is a priority and we have to shuffle things around. And I think there are days when my kid's a priority and we shuffle things around. There are days when I'm a priority and we shuffle things around. And there are days when other people in my life are a priority and we shuffle things around. So to me, making it all work is to recognize that life is very fluid and that I can create systems and routines, but the only way to survive in my life or for anybody to survive in their life is to recognize that they're all moving parts that need to be arranged. And so really we're all just project managers, and that's good. Like I think we start feeling really bad about ourselves and things start falling through the cracks when we start judging ourselves and feeling bad about ourselves for, you know, air quotes, like not being able to make it all work or anything. And nobody's making it all work. Like anytime I think I'm rocking it in my Facebook group, I'm slacking down on Instagram. Like anytime I feel like I'm totally hanging out with my kids, I forget to make them dinner and we have to go to, you know, drive-through fast food. Like we're always letting something down, but if we feel really good about the decisions we are making, then the things that we're slacking off on are okay, because you can't do all the things at once.
I love that answer so much. Can you tell us about what's been the biggest challenge you've had to face when it comes to devoting enough time to all of the different priorities in your life?
Well, I don't know about you, but there are definitely times when I get in a rut, right? Either I can't take my mind off business. So it's like impossible to be present with my kids because all I want to do is I'm in the middle of a launchy thing and I need to be, you know, or something interesting is happening. I need to be looking, or I had this idea and I just can't help but not think about it. So I want them to nap so I can, or like go away so I can do the thing. Or my kids are being so cute that I just want to cancel all of my meetings. And I do. Like there's some times where I just like, my kids are being adorable. I'm not taking them to school yet right now. So we're going to figure something else out. And I'll get into those, sometimes into that rut where I'll stay up late a couple nights, and then all of a sudden I'm staying up late every night, and then all of a sudden it becomes a habit. And I think one of the biggest struggles is making sure I'm not forming unhealthy habits just because I was in a rut for a while. Unhealthy eating habits, unhealthy self-care habits, unhealthy business running habits, unhealthy parenting habits, you know, that all of a sudden you wake up when you're running and you're like, I did not mean to be like that. I don't mean to be that person. But all of a sudden I am. Like, that's the biggest challenge, I think.
So good. Okay. Well, I would love to hear about a day in the life of Dana. Like, what is your morning routine? You wake up early. Do you start with coffee? Do you time block? How is your schedule organized? Do you work with your team every day? Are there some non-negotiable blocks of time that you have blocked out during the day? Give us all the details. Like, what is a day in the life?
Okay. Before I tell you that, you have to tell me what's behind you. Is that a cat?
Okay. So my little boy came home from
homeschool
six.
It's
a boy.
So sometimes we work with our 8-year-olds playing video games behind us.
Oh my goodness. So it's just this little tiny like furry head that keeps popping up behind you. And I was like, is that a human being? Yeah. Is it a pet? Isn't it? That's hilarious. Okay. That makes sense.
It's
not a cat. It's a child.
Child with playing
I love
video
it.
Games.
I love it. I love it. Okay. Day in the life. I remember when my last corporate job and they asked me, Dana, what is the worst thing I could have like tell you? And I said to ask me to do the same thing every day. So I am one of those people. I totally know everywhere under the sun tells you to have a morning routine, go to night bed at the same time, do all that kind of stuff. And I reject routine. So I like to have a repository of routines that I can pick from. So like if my kids are here, normally I get up when they get up. Like I really don't ever have an alarm, which is one of my goals in life, was to either like my kids wake me up or I naturally wake up and I don't set meetings so early that I might sleep through them. So like that's one of my big dreams. Success to me is not needing to be woken up by a beeping sound.
Yes.
Yeah. So in the mornings, like if my kids are here, 9 times out of 10, I don't get up before them. I'm not an early riser. I love my bed. The makes me incredibly happy is to like wake up and then like move your legs around in like the cold sheets and just, think about what I'm doing that day and like just start to lay there with my eyes closed and think about things. And then usually my daughter will come and snuggle with me, which is one of my favorite things. And then of course my son comes in and jumps on me, which is about, so we'll hang out a little bit and then I will get everything ready. And I like taking long showers. So I used to, when the kids were little, I wasn't able to do that because you have to make sure they survive. But now they're at an age, 4 and 6, when I can go in and I can spend 30 minutes to myself getting ready. Like not having to rush getting ready in the morning makes my entire day better. If I feel like I'm in a hurry, I'm immediately more frustrated with people and my kids and I feel flustered. So one of my main goals in the morning is to be able to go at a pace that feels relaxing to me, to actually enjoy drying my hair and enjoy making, coffee in the morning and enjoy like getting my kids ready for school. So I try to build in as much time as I can. Sometimes we have to hustle, but that to me, that's the morning routine. It's not like when I wake up or when it's like, I want to not rush. I want to be able to enjoy my children in the morning. I want to be able to lay in bed without having to jump out of bed. And that's the morning. And then nighttime stuff is usually a glass of wine or a hot cup of tea, depending on the evening. And I like to plan for the next day. And I like if I have the kids and I put them down, then it's planning afterwards. I like to do crafts with my kids when they come home. I'm not good in the kitchen or cooking or anything like that. I used to be, and now I don't care as much. So we do a lot of like picking up meals or getting things delivered or stuff like that. So I don't spend a ton of time in the kitchen. And then it really depends from a business perspective on the day, because Mondays are planning days. So on Mondays, I only have my operations meeting with my operations director. And then the rest of the day is just content needs to be created or things like that. Fridays, I don't ever have any meetings. And those are either catch-up days, don't work days, or meet up with friends or colleagues days. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 9 to noon or 1 are meetings with the group coaching, clients, prospect calls, things like that. And I'm done by 2 on all those days. And that's generally how it works.
That is so cool. And not the answer I was expecting at all.
Oh,
so
really? What?
I think I'm going to have like hardcore routine. I exercise, take my coffee.
No, I'm horrible at exercising. I do some yoga. But I'm really bad at routines. I like reject them. So I'll get heavy into one thing. And then after a few months, I'm sick of it and I want to do something else. I'm very experiential. I've done fencing. I've done archery. I've done rock climbing. I've done boxing. I've done yoga. I've done the bar. I like interest hop. And then once I feel like I've got it down, then I'm bored with it. And I've done ballet. Like I have to move to a new thing. So I do stay fit. I'm a very active person, but no, I don't go to the gym. I hate running. It makes no sense to me. Like I am envious of the people that can just go running. Like I don't do a lot of routines. I hate waking up early in the morning. So no, I give everybody who's like me permission to be like that. And I promise you can still be successful.
So interesting. I love that. I love that. So many of my listeners are just starting out in either an entrepreneurial journey or maybe starting a podcast or an Instagram account. They're still kind of looking for their niche or finding their voice. Can you give us some of your best tips for getting started, gaining some momentum, and not giving up when you feel like you aren't getting any traction?
Yeah. So one, I think what people focus on is they go, I need one thing that I can sell and what's my program's going to be? What am I going to be known for? What's my, niche and all that kind of stuff. And that's really hard to do. Even people that are a year or two in are still reworking those things and figuring those things out. So first off, give yourself a little grace for not being clear on everything. You're not going to be. And I always tell people, like, don't buy a huge expensive website in the first 6 months, because I guarantee you within the first year, you're going to be a completely different person. So recognize that you're going through, like, the whole Third Boss Mom book of Climb Your Own Ladder is all about the progression. Like, you're starting out as an intern. You want to take in information. So what are the things that you can hold on to dearly that you don't think are going to change? And to me, those are your opinions about the way the world works. So if you want to start attracting the right people, connecting with the right people, and creating some kind of authority in your space, even without all the things you're going to sell and all the systems you're going to have, mapping out what are your key opinions about the industry that you want to be in, about life as it pertains to what you're doing, and about tactics. So for instance, in the industry, I have a deep belief that boss moms should build a business that is not contingent on having one-on-one clients. Because to me, clients are like having other babies, and you're going to always feel behind, your kid's going to get sick, and then you're going to feel like there is no way to not get burnt out if the only business you have is a client-based business. So I believe that boss moms should do that. I also believe things about Facebook from an industry perspective. I believe things about the way we run businesses. From a life perspective, I believe you can't cry out your intelligence, right? I believe that some of us aren't built to be stay-at-home moms, and some of us are, and we should just own how we're built, and we should stop feeling so bad about it. We all need a nice array of human beings, right? From a tactic standpoint, don't use polls in Facebook. It doesn't help, right? Like, learn how, like, prime the algorithm in this particular way by asking these particular questions. So those are like tactical opinions. If you can map out just some natural opinions you have in some of those areas, and you just start repeating those, you will naturally get from anywhere that you're either in somebody else's group, which I say, before you try and create your own community, become famous in somebody else's community, just engage in those spaces and start sharing those opinions and asking good questions, and people will start to tell you what they need. And that's where you figure out what you make and sell. You get that validation. So to me, the opinions are the best place to start. Otherwise, you're going to just feel like nothing works, and you're not going to know where to go next because you don't have the foundation of what you believe in.
Yes, I love that. Okay, so this next question, in all the time you've been creating content and you putting yourself out there in the world with your message, have you ever had to deal with haters, negative criticism of your work, or even worse, I think for me, just silence?
Yeah, all of those things. I've totally gotten hate mail. I've been told that I stymie religious freedom because I don't let religious or political posts in our Facebook group or anything that calls out one particular, like, hey, we had an instance where they were saying, calling all Christian women. And we said, you can't do that in our group, because while I understand that's who you want to work with, in a Facebook post, you're literally saying anybody else of any other religion, their opinion does not matter. We just can't have that. You're going to need to go find a group that's maybe based on, for Christian women, and go connect there. We're not telling you you're not awesome. We're just saying you can't ask that question here. Yeah, I had people sending me hate mail. I've had people say, I don't know how you sleep at night because I've deleted posts that they've had. And here's the thing that I always remember. Everybody comes with baggage, right? And everybody is yearning to feel valuable and to feel like there's meaning, in their life. And anytime somebody is mean to me, I stop for a moment and I just say, maybe their husband yelled at them this morning. Maybe one of their parents are sick. Maybe they missed a deadline at work. Maybe they got laid off. Maybe they missed their child's recital. Maybe they are just feeling really sad today and they don't know why. Like, whatever it is that they're lashing out at me at is very rarely about me. It's very often about what's going on in their life. And I want to make sure that I always constantly validate that however they're feeling is okay. Like, normally when people are mean to me, I just tell myself, I'll be your scapegoat. If I need to be the person that you yell at today so that you can feel that outlet, because I'm like, this is the circle of screaming that needs to happen so you don't yell at your kids later, then I will absorb that and I will just graciously say, I don't agree with you. We can't take the post back. You can't post it, but you can yell at me if you want. I just think that way because honestly, like everybody's just hurting in the world these days. You know, we're all, even the people that love us most are usually terrible at showing us how they love us. We constantly question whether we make good decisions. You know, we constantly feel alone even when we're surrounded by people, right? Because usually they're not the right kind of people. We're yearning to feel like anything we do during the day that seems like all the logistical tasks that we have to do, like that anything shows that we're just appreciated and valuable and necessary. Like we all just want to have somebody that can't live without us, you know? Yeah. And all of that is a lot of weight to bear. So anytime somebody lashes out at me, I just stop myself and say like, okay, unless it's putting somebody I love in actual danger, most of the time it's just harsh words. And if I need to be the person that absorbs your harsh words today, I have a thick enough skin that I can do that. And maybe it will be helpful to you.
I love that. That's so healthy and so good. What about, you might have to go way back in your memory for this, but what about when you feel like you're hustling and grinding and you're putting out content and nothing is sticking? Like you're not getting any commentary, no feedback. And you're just wondering, is anybody listening or does anybody care?
Yeah. Well, first off, everybody should know that no matter where you are in your business, 80% of what you do won't work. That's it. The 80-20 rule applies. If you see somebody that you really like and then you see an ad come out and then you see a different ad and then you see a different ad, and that's because they're testing, right? When you see somebody coming out with different material or every time they do something, it looks a little bit different. Even the people that have $1 million, Amy Porterfield literally just merged two of her courses a year ago and then has changed, you know what I mean? Everything in business is iterative, which means that you are not failing, right? It's just like if you were on a sales team, they would say it is a numbers business, right? If it takes 1 out of 10 people say yes, then that means you need 9 no's. So you're not failing by getting 9 no's. You're statistically getting closer to a yes. You have to think about that way when you're creating content and putting things out online. If eight of the 10 things that you put out just aren't going to hit, nobody's going to really care about, you have to put out 8 things that don't hit to get to the 2 that do. So to me, you have to think about it not as failing. You have to think about it as a numbers game, so the key to that though, is that if you are noticing that all the things you're saying about this particular conversation or this particular topic or this particular kind of training, nobody cares, then the successful business owners tweak what they say. So instead of feeling like you're failing and nobody's listening, change what you're saying. Like that's the key. Like stop recognizing it as nobody cares about me and say, nobody cares about me yet. What am I not saying the right way? How could I rephrase this? What wording am I using? That's why I love questions. Because instead of us making statements and nobody cares, let's ask questions and find out what conversations people actually want to say or have. And then from there, you can start seeing what people want to hear from you. But yeah, you just have to recognize it's like 9 times out of 10, nobody's listening to us. That's the whole point of marketing. People pay millions of dollars to get somebody to give a crap about what it is they're talking about. So just know you are just a couple of nobody cares away from everybody caring.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to keep saying I'm only a couple nobody cares away. Have you ever experienced a period of anxiety or felt like you were just doing too much and out of control of yourself and your emotions? And how did you deal with that period of time?
Oh, actually, I have a very, very specific time. So my real dad passed away last year, 3 weeks before my big event. So I remember I was sitting in this coffee shop called Baba's that's up in Carlsbad, and my friend Kelsey was there with me, and we were working. And I remember getting a call, or I had been to my mom and my stepdad's house right before that, and they had said, like, have you seen a picture of your dad? We don't think it's going well. He had just progressively gotten worse and was having organ failure and all these kinds of things. It was looking just like a skeleton. And so they were saying, like, I think we're at the point of no return. And I kind of took that statement and went to go work at this coffee shop. And all of a sudden I turned to my friend and I was like, I can't breathe. Like, I feel like I'm like, my heart's beating really fast. I don't know what's happening. And she's like, you're having a panic attack. I was like, I've never had one of these. I don't know what this is. And so my mom's a nurse. So I called her. I was like, what do I do? Like, I literally feel like I'm going to pass out. I'm really nervous. I don't know what's going on. And so she's like, I've got some medicine. I will come over. I will give you, you know, this one thing. She's like, I warn you, you're going to take it and then you're going to feel kind of dead inside. So just be prepared for that. And I was like, I'll take dead inside all day long because I'm feeling way too much feels right now. And that was 3 weeks before my big event. or no, that was about a couple months before my big event. I just kept having those, like every once in a while, I just get that massive anxiety attack. And I'd never had one before. I didn't know anything about that. And then when my dad passed, I remember having this event and you have to, you know, the show must go on. It was a big event. And I had these four amazing friends around me and I would go on stage and I would do these things and I would talk and then we would take breaks and I would go cry in the hotel room. And then we'd reapply my makeup and like freshen me up. And then I'd go back out and then I'd cry. So there was like, there was this cycle of like, I need to cry. I'm just sad to like, I've got to be on. And there, and the interesting part about it is there's nothing inauthentic at that event about me being happy when I was happy, right? Like the people there were amazing. I made so many good new friends. We danced, we sang, we learned, we did all of those things. There's nothing inauthentic about that by the fact that in the middle of those moments, I was sad and I cried. Like the one thing I want everybody to know about those times is like the panic attack I had didn't mean that later that day I couldn't love my kids truly, or I couldn't get on a meeting and be smart. You know, me being sad in between times of me getting on and being happy, like that's a natural progression of things. So for anybody that does feel that, I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I can't say for sure, but in my opinion, having that natural just juxtaposition of happy and sad is completely normal and it doesn't disprove the authenticity. Like in shows when you're like, our whole relationship has been a lie. And you're like, no, actually that was all, it was all true until right now when we don't. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So we've learned that you do so much in business and you do so much for your family and so much for other people. What do you do for yourself? What is your self-care routine?
So, okay. So there's a couple. One, I shave my legs every day. So one of my past clients and good friends, Jessica Principe, who does the All Girls Shave Club, when my kids were old enough, Joe, I think hit one, and I did like a 30-day shave challenge. Because, you know, I wore the badge of like, I get to shower like twice a week. I've got babies. And at the point I was like, okay, I can no longer say that. I could actually shower every day if I wanted. And so I did that challenge. And what I realized is that it has become a trigger for me where it's not for anybody else. It's for me, where I shave my legs every day. And then because of that, it means I shower in the morning instead of any other time of the day. And then I'm more likely because of that, you know, put lotion on my skin so I feel nice. And then I just naturally do my hair. And then I just naturally put something nice on. And it has become a trigger that just makes me feel more put together, which for me is important. Like I think I perform better when I feel like I look like I would be somebody who performs better. You know, and I wrote the whole Boss Mom book in like my sweatpants at a Starbucks, you know, but at this particular time of my life, that's really important to me. So that, and then I love happy hour. Like I honestly, half the time when I'm by myself, I really don't even eat dinner and I don't eat lunch. I eat happy hour. And I love a good cheers in the sense that there's like four or five places in where I live in my area where everybody knows me. And I go in at like 3 to 5 and I, you know, get a glass of wine or I get a hot tea, depending how I'm feeling. And I get whatever's on their happy hour menu and I know the whole menu and everybody knows me and I sit there and I get work done or I meet new people. And it's just, for me, I love it. It's this time for me where I get to feel like I'm an adult, but I'm also having fun, but I can also be productive. And yeah, I love how, and I met so many interesting people. I was at a happy hour the other day and the person that sat next to me is a correctional officer at a prison downtown. And we had the most interesting conversation about gang life in prisons. Yeah. And it was like, well, that I never have these conversations in my world. It's good for me to understand how the world works. I met somebody who owns a boat and he does weddings on his boat and takes like people out on these long trips. And yeah, it's just like, I like this feeling that I get to be a little glimpse of this outside world without it being like, I'm not a partier. I'm not a go out later. I'm not a like drink all the timer. I'm a happy hourer. That's what I am.
I love that. All right. So good. I'm going to switch gears for just a second. I'm going to ask you, when your kids describe their mom, what do you hope stands out to them about you?
When my kids describe me, that's a great question. I want my kids to say she made me feel loved. Like I always knew I was loved because I think I like Brené Brown's TED talk about your kids need to feel worthy of love. So I always want them to feel worthy of love. I think that I want my kids to say that mom always built things. Like I building and creativity in my family is really important. It was important when I was growing up and it's important for my kids. I would much rather us do crafts and build a fort and get everything, take all the bedding off and have it be a total pain in the butt than for them to play with their Barbies or their cars. And so I think that idea of like mom was always up for building something was something that's very important. And this is going to sound really weird, but I want my kids to say when my mom was sad, she let us help. Because I think human beings want to feel valuable. And a lot of times in our effort to be strong, we take the ability for people to help away. And what we don't realize is it's not just about receiving help. It's about allowing people to be helpful. Like there is something really strong about our identity to feel helpful. And I want my kids to always feel like they're helpful. So I'll cry around them and they'll be like, what's the matter? I'll be like, I'm sad today. And they'll be like, what are you sad about? And I'll either say, I don't really want to talk about it. I just want to be sad. Or yeah, that I'm sad because I miss, you know, we call them heaven pop up or something like that. Or work was really hard today. And then they've been like, well, how can I help? And I'm like, well, Joe, it'd be really helpful if you help me make the lunches. And she's like, I'll make the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And she's 4, you know, or I'll be like, I would really love a hug. Or it'd be really helpful if I didn't have to ask you guys to brush your teeth. And so I think for them to say like, mom, let us help. Like we were a team. Instead of it being like her, she's the mom and we're the kids. I think we're a team, which means I help them and they help me.
That's so empowering. I love that. If you had the undivided attention of every woman in the entire world for just a few minutes, what is the most important thing you could teach them about becoming a boss mom?
Well, it's really related to just life in general. With the number one thing is that you're not broken. You are not broken. Whatever is not working in your life does not mean there is something wrong with you. And for every moment that you think that you're the problem is every moment wasted of actually getting to something that works. So you have to first know that you are not broken. Second is whenever you are building anything, it is just something you're building. It is not connected to your identity, and its failure or success is not connected to your identity, which means you are, like I was saying before, you are just 8, you know, the two from the 10 that is going to work. You just have to recognize that it could be the next thing. I mean, there's the quote, I can't remember who said it, but it's basically like everything just feels like it doesn't work until it does. That's what it's going to feel like. Like you have to always look at everything as being the next thing's going to work. The next thing's going to work. The next thing's going to work. Because the moment you stop trying it, that's the moment that you're failing.
So good. So good. What are you working on right now that you're most excited about?
Ooh, I'm starting a YouTube channel.
What?
I know. It's like 3 years. For like 3 years, I've been saying, I'm going to start a YouTube channel. And then we're like, hey, everybody come join my channel. And then we're like, I don't ever do it. But I did. I bought the camera. And yeah, there's a girl, this amazing girl, Patricia Kelikani, I believe. Such a hard name to pronounce. But she's won 3 Emmys. She was like one of these women who, you know, would go and wear the outfit and like go into Afghanistan and interview people and take pictures. And she was this journalist. And she was joined my academy, my group coaching program. And she's just so inspiring and so amazing. And she was creating a course on video and everything. And I was like, all right, I need to hire you, because I end up hiring half the people that join my stuff anyway, because I fall in love with them. But they, yeah. So she's helping me launch my YouTube channel and got the video and, you know, figured out the, you know, all the stuff for it. And I think the thing I'm most excited about it is not that I'm launching a YouTube channel, because that gives me massive anxiety to like think about adding another system into my business. But what I am excited about is I fancy myself to be very silly and playful. And we're creating the channel in a way that allows me to be that way, to tell jokes, to do outtakes, to do things like that. And that's what I'm most excited about.
That's awesome. Well, I just heard you talk about this on another podcast, and it could have been years ago. I was just researching you, but you said a YouTube channel, no, because I am comfortable writing and I would much rather write than be on video. And so that's so funny to me, because it was probably a long time ago. I don't know, but
yeah, I would say that but I got 3 books out. So like I told you, once I feel like I've conquered something, then I feel like I got to move to the next thing.
New challenge. Well, I would also suggest TikTok to you if you want to just be silly.
I know. I've had this discussion. There are several people on my team that yell at me for not being on TikTok. And the thing about YouTube is I can do it. I can create it and it's done. It's like a podcast. TikTok is a social media platform, and Facebook is kind of my place and my group is kind of my place. I'm very scared to add more. I think everybody should be. Everybody should be more scared to add more than scared not to add more. Like the Gary V world, where if you just, the more you're out there, the better, is, I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
So I may join at some point. There's a lot of people trying to convince me. I, at this particular juncture, can only handle so many things at once.
I hear you. Well, this has been awesome. Thank you so much. Tell my listeners where they can find you, learn more from you, join your community of boss moms, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So if you go to boss-mom.com, you will learn all about us and all about our resources and all about all that fun stuff. If you go to boss-mom.com/Facebook, it'll take you right to our Facebook group. And then of course, we've got the Boss Mom podcast. You can always find us on iTunes or Stitcher and all the places. Hear more of my fast talking.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much.
Thanks for having me.
I really loved that episode. I have been a member of the Boss Moms Facebook group for a long time and have listened to a lot of Dana's interviews, and maybe I'm biased, but that was one of my favorites. I loved getting to know her better by asking her the questions that I'm curious about, and hopefully that episode was helpful to you as well. There is so much going on right now. I hope that you all are making really incredible 2020 goals for yourselves and taking the necessary steps towards crushing them. I have been working full bore on the Epic Health Summit and am so excited to bring it to you now. It is time for you to register and start getting excited about all of these incredible experts that I have lined up to teach you about physical, mental, and emotional health. We are really getting close now. Also, on Friday, I will be republishing one of my most popular podcast episodes that has to do with health. It's with my friend Sydney Hampsch of Yay for Today. She is the cutest girl you will see, and you can tell she is very healthy. She's got her own activewear line, and so I'm really excited to be republishing her episode for you to hear, getting ready for the Epic Health Summit. Remember to register to watch that for free. You're just going to go to www.onthebrightersideofhealth.com, put your email address in, and you'll be notified as soon as the summit starts. Get excited for our episode next week as well, which is also going to be an amazing one, rounding out our phenomenal Jewish woman podcast series with Jessica Silverman, who not only is an incredible online business coach, but she's also participating in the Epic Health Summit talking about taking a break from social, and her presentation is so good. So I'm excited for you to get to know her better next week on the podcast. So make sure you're subscribed, make sure you're tuning in each week, and until next week, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.